Hello and welcome to this edition of Deeper. It is so good to have you with us today. And you've just got me today. So Rob preached yesterday. Normally we'd have the preacher on Deeper, but it's half term as I record this, and pretty much most people are away, so you are left with me. We are looking at the second in our series of sermons based on the missional life. And our second sermon was all about the message that we carry as followers of Jesus. And I would love you to read the passage. It is really simple. It is just two verses. So why not read it in a number of different versions? So it's Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. In fact, you know what? I'm going to read it for you and you can listen to it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So if you want to, you can read it over again and just allow those words to sink in, because they are incredibly powerful words. In fact, some writers and commentators would say that these two verses summarize the whole of the book of Romans. That's a lot to get into two verses. So these are powerful, powerful verses. So we're going to go through it. Why not just press pause, read these two verses again, reflect on them, just dwell on them a little bit, and then we're going to get into it. So when you've finished that, restart the video. Okay, then here we go. So we're going to do verse by verse, just two verses. Let's start with verse 16. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let's start with the word gospel, because that's where it all starts, isn't it? I am sure you know that the word gospel is the Greek word euangelion, and basically means a good message, good news. And we have good news. Paul had talked about in the previous verses how he longed to get to Rome to preach the gospel. And Paul travelled around because what he carried within him, this message that he believed with all of his being, with every part of his life, that this was such good news that others needed to hear it. And so here he is, writing to the people in Rome, this huge, multicultural, multi-religious, incredibly diverse city where people had gathered from all over the world, because it was the center of the world. Imagine something like, New York or London, where people gather. That's what you have in mind here. And he longed to get there because he knew if he could preach the gospel in Rome, it would have an impact far and wide. And the good news for Paul was always Jesus. Now, one of the things I think we sometimes get into when we start to talk about sharing our faith and those kind of things is that we invite people to church, or we talk about church. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that, we know church isn't the good news. It is Jesus. He is the good news. What he did upon the cross and through his resurrection, that is good news. And on Sunday, Rob talked about, and this is carried on in the Missional Life course video, the four elements of the good news. Firstly, creation, that we are created by God. And in that we have our identity. We are all children of God. We are his creation. We are formed for his pleasure and for his worship. And then there's the second element, which is the fall, which is humanity, the whole of humanity, choosing to live life their way without being subject to the will of God. And then we have redemption, which is God taking the initiative in Jesus, coming to do the work that we could not do, which is, in other words, rebuild the relationship that we lost in the fall with God. And then there's restoration. And in restoration, we have our whole lives rebuilt. We are new creatures, new creations. And it is not simply about having eternal life after we die. It's about a new life here and now, and discovering all that Jesus has to give us today as we live for him. That is effectively, in a summary, the good news. And there are key elements in that, which are those four elements, but each of them have their own difficulties that we struggle with in trying to share. And so it's no wonder that in writing here, Paul says, I am not ashamed of this gospel. Because as he says that, I'm wondering, and I'm sure you are too, is were the people at Rome, the Christians in Rome, in some way ashamed of this gospel? Here they are in this incredible city, surrounded by temples to every kind of god you could imagine. And these were big, glitzy affairs. There'd be huge numbers of priests and priestesses performing rituals and all sorts of other things. And all they had was a story about a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth who died. It's not a great story, that, is it? But when you understand who this Jewish carpenter is, that it was not just a human being, but this was God incarnate, God taking on our form and living as one of us, this then takes on a new meaning. It takes on a new kind of power. And Rob talked in the sermon on Sunday, you'll hear it in the Mission Life course as well, that we are shaped by the stories we believe. And in lots of ways, you can tell whether a Christian truly believes the story of Christ because their life is shaped around it, or might not be shaped around it if they are struggling with that story. You can see it each and every day in the way they live their lives. The things that we believe, the things that we hold true about life and about ourselves, they're the things that actually make us who we are. And so it's important that we understand the story, that we understand the implications of the story, we understand the truthfulness of this story, and allow it to sink deep within our souls, that we immerse ourselves in it, so we absorb the whole of this story into our lives and live it out. So this story that the Roman Christians had may have been, by comparison, it might seem unsophisticated, it might have seemed in some way vaguely ridiculous. But Paul says he was proud of the story. He wasn't ashamed. He was the complete opposite. He was proud. He couldn't wait to get to Rome to tell the Roman citizens about Jesus. He's proud of it. Why is he proud of it? Well, we see that in the very next phrase. Because it is the only thing that brings salvation. It is the power of God that brings salvation, he says. This story that we have, this good news, the good message of Jesus, is the power of God for our salvation. William Barclay, in his commentary, he describes it this way. He says, he describes salvation and he's trying to explain it, and he comes up with a whole list of things that we are saved from. He says we are saved from sin, we are saved from lostness, we are saved from physical illness, we are saved from danger, we are saved from the corrupt world we live in, we are saved from the wrath of God. And it is a salvation that is for all time, for all eternity. This is the salvation that we have. This is the power of God to take us broken human beings who have fallen away from him, who come out of relationship with him. And the power of God is able to bring us back into relationship and also add in complete wholeness, wellness, safety, security, and a new sense of identity in him. And that power of God is there for all who believe. Not just those who believe wholeheartedly, but just those who in some way believe, who have a mustard seed of faith, of belief in what Jesus has done. And by saying that, he's saying that it's not about what you do. All the other religions that would have surrounded those Roman Christians would have all been about what you give to this God, or what you are able to do for this God. But this story that is good news, is all about what he has done for us. That Jesus came to this world as one of us and lived an incredible and perfect life. He showed us what it was like to actually be truly human. This was the Jesus who died on a cross and took our sin upon himself, who died the death that we all deserved, but 3 days later rose again to life. This is what he did. This is what it's all about. It's all about him. And then Paul says at the end of this verse, it's first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And of course, there's perhaps a number of ways in which you can understand that, but the most simplest and to me the most obvious is that this was proclaimed first to the Jews because Jesus preached to the Jews, as did the apostles. And then as things developed, the message moved out to the rest of the Gentile world. So let's move on to verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's focus on that phrase, the righteousness of God revealed. When we think of God's righteousness, we think of his holiness. We think of how kind of other he is, if you understand what I mean by that. You know, he is completely different to us. But here, what this is talking about is that in some way, when we come to Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, God covers us with his righteousness. And so what Paul's saying here is that when we believe, we suddenly discover that all our sinfulness, all our unrighteousness is covered by God's righteousness. He treats us, we who are sinners, we who are undeserving of his love, he treats us as if we were a people who had never sinned at all, because all he can see is the righteousness of Christ covering us. And Paul talks about that in his writings, doesn't he? How, you know, we put on Christ, we put on the righteousness of Christ. It's like we cover ourselves with Jesus, and that sin that we've carried for so long is no longer seen because Jesus has taken it. He treats us who are sinners as if we have never sinned before. The difficulty for us is that sin isn't such a big deal anymore. You know, in this current climate in which we live, this current kind of culture, it is all about, well, you have your truth and I have my truth and I can do whatever I want, so I'm going to hurt people and all those kind of things. And yet, that is a human sense of what was right or wrong. When we start to think about God, it is what he determines to be right or wrong that determines whether or not we are sinful. And then it says, from first to last, or as some versions say, from faith to faith. And all that is saying simply is that from the very beginning and to the very end, this is all about faith. Even in Abraham's time and before that, it was all about faith. At the end of the age, it will simply be all about faith. Faith is the key thing here. And faith is all about, I mean, there's some key words that we could use around faith, like belief and trust and loyalty. These are things that we are able to do ourselves. We put our trust in God. We put our belief in what he has done. And we stay loyal to that throughout all of our lives. That's what faith is. That we choose to live by this story, believing it is true, believing it has an eternal impact, not just a temporary impact in here and now. And this faith is how we actually live. This is the faith that allows us to enter into all that Jesus has done for us. And so Paul says at the end, as it is written, as it is written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous will live by faith. This is powerful stuff, isn't it? Because this is all about our salvation. This is all about the very central aspect of our faith. So let's just think about some of the implications of these two verses by going a little bit wider. So let's just think about what does this mean for us today. And I think the first thing is this, that even in the current climate in which we live, where in many ways it's a bit like Rome, where there are lots of different ideas and beliefs, lots of different religions around us, lots of different philosophies, that in some way we need to discover, recover our pride in the gospel, to not be ashamed of it. Because when you look at what we have, I mean, what we have has stood the test of 2,000 years, and even beyond that, if you want to kind of include the Old Testament, what we have has stood the test of time. It grew from this one carpenter from Nazareth to a worldwide religion of currently billions, and of billions who have believed in it for over those 2,000 years. This has stood the test of time. All the fads and the fashions that surround us now, which will all seem glitzy and attractive for a while, they will all fade. This is something that we can be proud of. We need to capture Paul's passion for the gospel, to believe it to be true in such a way that we are proud of it. And there's some things that we need to do in that we need to. I want to encourage you to understand the gospel, that you start with scripture, but you read around it as well. Find some good books to help you understand what the good news is, to help you understand your salvation. Gather them and read them, devour them. Immerse yourself in this story and allow it to shape not just how you live, but to shape the very core of your being, your identity. You need to understand the power of your salvation, to understand the full extent of what salvation really means. The second thing is this, that are you really being shaped by the story we believe? I mean, you look around Christians today, and it's hard to believe that many of them are Christians. You look at their life, and it's hardly any different to the life of anyone else next door to them or just down the road. We need to be shaped by this. Our lives need to be so different. I was talking to a friend of mine who he had a friend who's Hindu, and the way he talked about his friend who was Hindu, you knew that his friend was being shaped by his story, by his faith. And I hope that in some way my life does that too. That in the way I live my life, in the way that I choose to handle my possessions, to handle my reactions and relationships, to handle my behavior each and every day, to handle how I talk to people, I really hope that my life has been shaped by the story of Jesus. And that's a challenge for each and every one of us, isn't it? That we need this story to so radically change our lives that others notice. And that makes sharing the gospel so much more easier, doesn't it? If we're able to, if people point to us our lives and say, "What was that? What's all this about?" And we can say, "Yeah, it's Jesus." That makes it so much easier, doesn't it? Is your life so radically different from those around you that people want to know why? That people want to understand what it is that makes you tick? And you can tell them then that what makes me tick is Jesus. It's him and him alone. And of course, then alongside that is this call to share the story. If it is good news, then surely we want to tell people. If it's a good message to give, then surely we want to pass it on. We want others to start to live out this story that we are living in. And there's so much that I could say about this, but some of the questions at the end are going to be focused on that. How are you telling the story to others? But this call to share the message is at the very heart of our faith. It's not an optional extra. The Christian faith is it's known as a proselytizing faith, and there aren't many of them. I think there's basically Christianity and Islam, and there might be one or two others, but most of the others aren't about trying to convert others. Christianity absolutely is, because God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God wants everyone to come into a saving relationship with Him, and He chooses to do that through you and me. It is our responsibility to join in with God in His evangelizing work to those around us. I know, it's terrifying, isn't it? None of us like to think of these things, but we have to get a grip of this. We have to understand that this is the call upon our lives. And we might not be very good at it. In fact, we might be terrible at it, but that doesn't matter. We are still called to do it. I can't remember whether it was in a deeper or whether I shared it in a sermon, but the person who shared her faith with me originally did it really badly. And I passed it on, the faith onto others, and done it really badly. But people have still come to faith through it. It doesn't matter how bad you do it. What really matters is that you do. Because the very fact that you share it shows how important it is to you. None of us would ever share anything that was unimportant. Unless it's a bit of gossip. And we all love a bit of gossip, don't we? But what we do is always share what's important to us. Is Jesus so important to you that you want to share Him with others? So let's think about some questions for you to consider in your mission communities or on your own. And let's go a little bit further. Okay, so here we are. Here's some questions. First question, and this is thinking about how the gospel impacted us. What was it about the gospel that first attracted you? What brought you into a relationship with Jesus? And I'm not thinking here about your story of who shared your faith, who shared their faith with you and that kind of stuff. It was what attracted you. What was it about the gospel that attracted you? What was it about Jesus that attracted you? Second question. How would you briefly describe the four elements of the gospel to others? That's creation, fall, redemption, restoration. How would you briefly describe them? So if someone says to you, tell me what the gospel is, how would you do that very quickly? Maybe together you can come up with ideas and suggestions about how that might be done. Because the words we use for these things really matter. And the more you think about it, the more you're able to share it better. So just spend some time talking about it. How would you briefly describe each of those four elements of the good news? Third question. In 2 minutes, just tell each other your story. So on Sunday, Pat, she shared her story. Just share yours. Just tell others about how you came to Jesus. So this is different to how the first question. The first question is more kind of theological. What was it about the gospel that drew you in? This is, what's the story? How did it happen? Who was it who shared their faith with you? What made you make that final decision to become a Christian? It's that story. And do it in less than 2 minutes. If it's longer than 2 minutes, anyone you're telling that story to will start to switch off. So learn how to tell a story quickly. Final question, and this is the one where the rubber hits the road. Who are you going to share your faith with this week? Just spend a bit of time talking about that with others, praying about it. Pray for each other that if an opportunity comes, that you'll each be bold enough, courageous enough to take that opportunity on. So there we go, 4 questions for you to consider. I want to encourage you to also, if you're in mission communities, to watch the video. It's John Tyson who is going to go deeper into all that stuff that Rob talked about. And the more we listen to this, and in different ways as well, John goes into does it in a slightly deeper way, then the more we get understand it. And so I would encourage you to engage with that. If you are not in a mission community but want to engage, Beck is doing an online version on a Monday night at 7 o'clock, and you can email her, and the email address is below. So until then, let me encourage you to join us on Sunday, and we will be talking about our identity as Christians, our identity as people who are called to share our faith. So join us on Sunday, either online or in person, and then again next Tuesday for deeper. So until then, take care and God bless.